The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear an appeal in a redistricting case that was previously dismissed by a panel of judges. It's Monday, the first day of June, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Groh. Coming up on the show today, UW-Madison is investigating whether a student club promoted a raid at an animal testing facility. And we head to the zoo to learn about a polar bear who may or may not be pregnant.
The cub would be born at about a pound and a half, so think the size if you have like a large tube sock that you fill with rice.
Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear an appeal of a lawsuit dismissed last month, which claims the state's congressional districts represent an anti-competitive gerrymander. Rich Kramer reports conservative and liberal justices sparred over the decision.
The lawsuit filed by liberal firm Law Forward claims Wisconsin's 8 congressional districts were drawn to favor incumbents at the expense of voters. A panel of 3 county judges dismissed the case last month, stating only the high court can overturn the maps on grounds that they're too partisan. Law Forward's appeal argues the panel mistakenly referenced partisan gerrymandering claims in its decision. The Supreme Court's 4 liberal justices accepted the appeal late Friday. In their dissents, retiring conservative justices Rebecca Bradley and Annette Ziegler accused their colleagues of judicial activism. Liberal justices called the attacks false and inappropriate. Law Forward didn't ask for changes to the congressional districts before this year's elections. They're hoping for a trial in April 2027. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A federal judge says former Wisconsin teacher's aide Yesenia Ruano must be allowed to return to the U.S. That ruling came in response to an ongoing lawsuit which accuses the Trump administration of illegally trying to remove Ruano and other alleged crime victims. In his recent order, the judge said the government cannot deport Ruano without first considering her application for a type of visa which is available to victims of human trafficking. Ruano told WPR last week that she plans to come back to the U.S. just as soon as her lawyers work out the logistics.
If God gave me a chance, we can return as soon as they give me the green light to return.
Ruano took her twin daughters with her when she self-deported to El Salvador last summer. She previously worked at a bilingual public school in Milwaukee. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is investigating a student club over its alleged promotion of a raid at Ridgeland Farms Animal Testing Facility. Corrine Hess reports the group, called Animal Advocacy, could face disciplinary sanctions.
The issue is a flyer posted by Animal Advocacy to promote various Save the Beagles events at Ridgeland Farms. One of the items on the flyer was a QR code from a different activist suggesting people remove the dogs from Ridgeland Farms. On April 18th, hundreds of activists stormed the Dane County facility to remove the beagles. A UW-Madison spokesperson says the school is investigating whether Animal Advocacy's flyer violated the Registered Student Organization Code of Conduct. Jackson Ray heads the group.
It's not uncommon for, you know, universities or institutions to crack down and try to suppress controversial opinions.
Animal Advocacy meets with UW officials next month. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A group of young people in Wisconsin is appealing a recent decision to dismiss a legal challenge looking to strike down state laws that they say worsen the climate crisis. A Dane County judge dismissed the case last month, saying their claims must be resolved through the state's political process and not the courts. Environmental groups, Our Children's Trust, and Midwest Environmental Advocates appealed the ruling last week on behalf of 15 kids. They sued the Public Service Commission and Wisconsin Legislature last August. The groups argued that state laws that cap renewable energy requirements and bar consideration of air pollution from new fossil fuel plants are unconstitutional. Coal and natural gas made up 75% of electricity generated in Wisconsin. Most heat-trapping greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change are caused by the burning of fossil fuels. An attorney for the legislature did not immediately respond to a request for comment, and the Public Service Commission does not comment on litigation. Wisconsin's congressional delegation is urging President Donald Trump to approve a disaster declaration for storms that ripped through the state in April. As Joe Schultz reports, a bipartisan group of lawmakers sent a letter to the president last week.
All of Wisconsin's members of the House of Representatives signed the letter. So did Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Republican Senator Ron Johnson did not sign. Governor Tony Evers asked the president for a disaster declaration last week to help communities recover from more than $27 million in storm damage. In their letter to Trump, the federal lawmakers say severe weather left rural communities with unprecedented damage that's, quote, beyond their capacity to manage. The April flooding forced the village of Shiocton and the city of New London to issue temporary evacuation orders. Meanwhile, the city of Janesville estimates that it sustained more than $10 million in damage to public infrastructure. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Apostle Islands National Lakeshore will bid farewell this summer to a historic light tower on Lake Superior. The National Park Service says that light tower has been compromised by shoreline erosion and must be removed. In the late 1800s, changing shipping routes prompted a need for more navigational aids on Lake Superior, and construction began on the Shawamigan Point Light Tower on Long Island. Not long after it was built, though, erosion started to cause problems for the roughly 40-foot structure. Former Lakeshore historian Bob Macrith says in 1987, the U.S. Coast Guard moved the tower back from the shore with a helicopter.
The helicopter was completely incapable of lifting the light tower cleanly. And what it ended up doing was dragging it along the beach for 100 feet and dropping it.
The structure was damaged and repaired around 20 years later, but erosion has since undermined the tower's footing and anchors. Coming up, zookeepers in Madison are hoping Wisconsin's only polar bear couple can have a baby this summer. Stay with us.
Public media is more than what's on TV or the radio. It's educational tools for teachers.
It's trusted news on air and online.
Local stories shared across social media that keep us connected.
It's urgent alerts when safety matters most. PBS Wisconsin and WPR serve you in many ways, and it's all possible because of your support. Visit WPR.org/together.
And finally, Madison's Henry Vila Zoo is home to the only polar bears in Wisconsin. As Sarah Lear reports, zookeepers are hopeful that that pack will grow this December.
Here comes Nora!
People ooh and ah as Nora and Siku dive for frozen treats from behind the glass wall of their enclosure. The Vila Zoo acquired Siku in October, followed by Nora in January. In February, the pair mated. Polar bears experience delayed implantation. So Nora's keepers say they may not know if Nora got pregnant until she gives birth. A zookeeper, Kristen Myers, explains.
The cub would be born at about a pound and a half. So think the size if you have like a large tube sock that you fill with rice.
Meanwhile, if Nora gets pregnant, she'd weigh about 800 pounds. That much fat would make it difficult to detect the fetus via ultrasound. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. A little bit of light rain in parts of eastern and central Wisconsin this morning. That should be clearing up as the day goes on, with highs in the 70s and lots of sunshine today. Overnight lows down into the 40s and 50s, up into the 70s and 80s tomorrow, with no rain expected. And that'll do it for this Monday, the first day of June. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. I've noticed a couple of new ratings coming in over the past few days. Big thank you to everybody who's left us a rating, maybe a comment or two. If you haven't yet, there's no time like the present. Just leave one wherever you're listening right now. We love hearing your feedback. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.